What is Jesus like? What is his nature, and what are the effects he has upon those who receive him? Is he primarily a problem solver or a heavenly helper? Does he come to assist us in fulfilling all of our dreams and bringing our plans to fulfillment? Those are some questions I'll address in this message, Jesus, the Day Spring. My text is taken from Luke 1:76-79. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, to the tender mercy of our God, whereby the Day Spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide their feet into the way of peace. This is a prophecy spoken by Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. The occasion was the circumcision of the baby John, which took place when he was 8 days old. It was at that time that Zacharias declared the name of the boy was John, according to the word of the angel of God. The birth of John was significant because it affirmed the coming of the Messiah was at hand. The role of John in God's purpose was to prepare the people for the Savior, readying them to receive him. In preparation for this work, John would be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, and when he came of age, he would turn the hearts of many people to the Lord. Luke 1:15-16. According to the word of the Lord, he would make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Luke 1:17. When the baby John was circumcised, the Spirit of God came upon Zacharias, and he prophesied. He spoke of the Messiah for whom John would prepare the people. He declared that in the Savior, God had visited and redeemed his people, raising up a horn of salvation as he promised David, and to perform the mercy promised to the fathers and the covenant made with Abraham. Luke 1:68-73. He said that this was done in order that we might be delivered out of the hand of our enemies and serve God without fear and holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Luke 1:74-75. It is then that the words of our text appear, that through the tender mercy of God, the Day Spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet in the way of peace. These words encapsulate the objective of salvation. First, let's define the term Day Spring, for Jesus truly is the Day Spring from on high. From the standpoint of language, the word Day Spring means a rising light, in this case, the rising of the sun. Theologically, the word speaks of the Messiah being like the dawning of the day when the sun rises, dispersing the darkness and making things plain. Balaam once prophesied of the coming Messiah as one that would shed light on things, likening him to a star that would come out of Jacob. Numbers 24:17. Isaiah spoke of the time of the Savior as one in which light would come upon the people, and the glory of the Lord would shine upon them. Isaiah 60:1. Malachi referred to the coming Savior as the Son of Righteousness who would rise with healing in his wings. Malachi 4:2. Now in our text, all of that is wrapped up in a single phrase, the Day Spring from on high. This speaks of the illuminating effects of Christ's presence, shedding light in an area once dominated by darkness, moral and spiritual darkness, in which the people remained fundamentally ignorant of God and his will. This was a darkness that imposed a state of benightedness upon the people. The people in such a state are depicted as sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death. That is, death was close at hand, yet they did not know it. They could not see the working of God or the dangers brought on by the presence of Satan that was all around them. They did not know the will of God. They were unaware of the purpose of life and were abysmally ignorant of their own moral and spiritual condition. Just as darkness covered the face of the deep prior to the creation of the world, so a form of darkness covered humanity prior to the coming of Jesus. The only light that was shed on the human condition was the law and the prophets. Their light was very dim in comparison to Jesus, but it was sufficient to reveal the rough outline of real danger and give men a sense of their need of illumination as well as deliverance. The coming of Jesus into the world was like a sunrise when the sky became bright with the colors of promise and hope began to awaken in the hearts of man. Things became more clear and conditions could be traced to their source. People began to understand more, realizing that life was more than eating and drinking, wearing clothes, and having a house. When the sky began to light up with the glory of God, life was seen differently. A different reason for living became apparent. Serving God without fear and in a state of holiness and righteousness became the objective. Men began to sense that they were accountable to God and would eventually stand before him to give an account of themselves. The impact of this knowledge was significant enough to induce them to repent, turn to God, and begin to live for him. The Day Spring from on high was visiting men, making everything more clear, and bringing a certain lucidity to life. Men were no longer asking who they were and why they were here and what they were to do. when the day spring from on high visits men do not have questions about the purpose of life or why this or that happens. Such matters become more clear in the blazing light of Jesus Christ, who himself is the light of the world. John 8:12. The visitation of the day spring from on high is associated with the tender mercy of our God. As it is written, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us. There's a certain gentleness to the rising of the sun that allows us to adjust to the light. The sun does not burst forth in its zenith and in brightness immediately, and that would surely blind us. But it rises slowly, gradually increasing the circumference of illumination. At the first, clarity exists only for a short distance. However, as the horizon expands, we can see farther and farther. So it is in the spiritual realm. When the day spring from on high shined forth, he first shed light on the immediate situation, illuminating what the people were and where they were sitting. But as the spiritual day grew brighter and brighter, soon they could see where they were going and what God had promised. They could see that the purpose of life stretched out into eternity, and that men must be prepared for what's going to happen after they die. When Jesus walked among men for the very first time, a person asked about obtaining eternal life. Twice Jesus was asked this question, once by a rich young ruler and once by a scribe. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Luke 10:25 and 18:18. No one had ever asked Moses that question, nor had anyone made such an inquiry of the prophets. Not even John the Baptist heard such a question. And why was the question even asked Jesus? What prompted those two men to ask about eternal life? It was the presence of Jesus, the day spring from on high, that provoked the question. He'd shed light on life so that suddenly it was seen as more than a day-to-day existence, or obtaining things in this world, or achieving a certain status in this world. Now in the blazing light of the glory of Christ, who's the day spring from on high, the normalities of life did not seem the most important thing at all. No one ever asked Jesus what to do to inherit riches. He was never asked by anyone what they should do to obtain health or social acceptance. No one ever asked him how to obtain a happy marriage or a successful business. He was never asked about how to achieve a political career or plan for retirement. Oh, some people ask him about whether or not they should pay taxes, but their questions were not honest, and they asked him because he did not want to know who he was. Another young man asked him to speak to his brother that he would divide his father's inheritance with him, but Jesus did not do what he said, for the request was a foolish one and was asked because the young man was sitting in darkness, not standing in the light. Those who saw something of the true Jesus would ask questions like, what is the greatest commandment? Matthew 22:36. Or declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Matthew 13:36. Or what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Matthew 24:3. These were not the kind of questions people asked prior to Jesus, but once he'd come, a certain light was shed on life itself, so that people sensed more was involved in living than having a family and a job, or realizing pleasure, having domestic happiness, and achieving social status. As the moral and spiritual light increased, those who saw it sensed that deliverance from their enemies was within reach. Their arch foe, the devil, could be defeated. They did not need to remain in ignorance, and they could be strong rather than weak. They could be delivered out of the hand of their enemies. They say that it's impossible to serve God without fear, but they knew better now. They could serve the Lord in hope of going to heaven, not merely avoiding going to hell. They saw that what we're saved to is greater than what we're saved from, and that we're going to something that's more important than where we were. The day spring from on high has visited us. Now it became clear that the reason we're saved from our enemies is in order that we might serve God without fear. Our situation is similar to that of the Israelites. When they were in Egypt, they were oppressed, suffering much grief. Grief that caused them to cry out to the Lord. However, when they were delivered, it was not merely to get them out of the suffering and spare them from any further grief. They were delivered in order to serve the Lord. Through Moses, God sent a message to Pharaoh, let my son go that he may serve me. Exodus 4:23. 6 times Moses delivered the word to Pharaoh, let my people go that they may serve me. Exodus 7:15, 8:1, 8:20, 9:1, 9:13, and 10:3. That's why God delivered Israel from Egypt, that they might serve him. That's why he delivered them from their enemies, that they might serve him. That's why he gave them of their own land, that they might serve him. That's why he sent the prophets to them, that they might serve him, serve his interests, do his will, glorify him in their manners and conduct. But they did not have a heart for consistently serving God. Oh, they thought they did. When God delivered his commandments to them, the people hastily responded, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Exodus 19:8. Concerning that statement, God himself said those were good words. He said they have well said what all they have spoken. However, he added, "Oh, that there were such a heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." Deuteronomy 5:28 and 29. They did not have a heart suited for service to God. Therefore, under the law, they had to serve the Lord with fear. It was a kind of bondage that was the result of a lack of pervading light. The book of Hebrews speaks of Christ delivering us from a system of cold and lifeless law, one in which we serve God because we have a fear of death, fear of consequences rather than hope of glory. Here's what Hebrews 2:15 says of the accomplishments of Jesus, "and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." The visitation of the day spring from on high is said to pave the way for serving God all the days of our life without fear. That is, the service is not motivated by divine threats as it was under the law. Rather, it's out of an awareness of the promises of God and the good things that await us in the world to come. Now, right here, I need to come to grips with some of the erroneous teaching of our day. Some are teaching the people that we do not have to wait until we get to glory to get the blessing of God, but can obtain it now in the form of health, wealth, prosperity, and the realization of our earthly ambitions. It is true that now salvation does bring benefits to us. They are called the first fruits, but they do not come in the form of things that will perish. The fruit of the Spirit is never called houses and lands or health and wealth. Read it for yourself in Galatians 5:22 and 23. In Christ Jesus, the benefits are not a sort of admixture of earth and heaven, the temporal and the eternal, and what's passing with what's eternal. Such a notion comes from being in the darkness, not in the light. The day spring from on high has shed light on the situation. Primarily, it does not have to do with what we get, but what we do. Here's how Zechariah said it through the Spirit, that we might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. Luke 1:74 and 75. That's the reason for being delivered from our enemies, that we might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness. That's the reason for the remission of sins, that we might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness. That is the reason why we're given the Holy Spirit, that we might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness. That's why we're being added to the church, that we might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness. In his great salvation, God has called men into what he's doing. Salvation is not about God being called into what we're doing. The day spring from on high does not shed light on our plans, but on God's purpose. It does not prepare us to do our will, but to do his will. There really is only one will that God honors, and that's his own. This is why Jesus said, "Not my will, but thine be done." Listener, when the light of Jesus dawns upon your soul, all of these things become more clear. Who you are and where you're going can then be understood. It becomes clear who you are to serve and why you are to do it. What is more, living without fear and in anticipation of glory to come is the most gratifying and productive life that's possible. Now that the day spring from on high has visited us, just where are you living? Now, there's something to think about.